The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting and long overdue episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Okay, it's been a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while. Yeah. So, hey guys, how's it going?
Well, since our last episode, we've all had our own things going on. I went on vacation. My day job has been busy. Studio stuff is like pretty steady, and we're all just kind of going to shows and
working a fuck ton,
mm-hmm. and just trying to maintain our social lives with people much. In our lives. And like, well, you've switched jobs lately,
right?
Yeah, so that's kind of impacted your schedule a bit. Mm-hmm. So, and you're still doing Radioactive Metal, every week. So that's obviously like.
And then two of my four jobs spiked, so I'm fucking busy constantly all the time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're running on like.
What's sleep at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, my day job, I'm like running on like a skeleton crew a lot of the time. And because like so many other people are going on vacation, and nobody else got hired to take over for those people. And yeah.
So basically what we're looking at is we went on a sabbatical. A
little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I went to my cabin, and that was like.
There we go.
Yeah. Cause you went to your cabin. Wasn't it right after I got back from Montreal?
Yeah. It was in July.
Yeah.
That was,
so not
that was
too
when
long
we,
after I got back.
We recorded the last episode in July. I think we put it out in August, and then when I got back, and then yeah. And then we just did nothing because we've all been busy as fuck. Yeah. So
right. So, but we are back now. We're ready to rock and roll. I was really concerned though going into this because I probably shouldn't be saying this on the air, but I don't know. Like I've been watching a lot of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's all been from 1981, 79, 76. You know, like. That time period, I've kind of the last couple of months, I've kind of fallen off, you know, the current product, and I hate that word, but okay. So I'm like, guys, this is gonna be on you guys because I don't know what's going on.
Oh, fuck.
And, like I haven't really been keeping up with AEW lately. Like I have here and there, but like we watched All In. We watched All In, not live. we gathered here after it had already aired and some spoilers had already leaked, but we watched it still. And
it was still fun.
It was a fun show. And then All Out was just like, from what I've seen, the darkest wrestling show in recent memory.
Basically.
With, there was syringes and cinder blocks involved and plastic bags and so Moxley tried to commit it. when Moxley tried to choke out, Danielson with that plastic bag at All Out when he turned on him. My brain immediately went to Sideshow Bob in The Simpsons when he's on the phone with that radio talk show and he's just like, it's like attempted murder. Now what exactly is that? Do they give a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry?
Attempted
do they?
Chemistry. Yeah.
Yeah. Framed for a crime I didn't even commit. But as far as WWE goes, like I've been watching Raw and pretty regularly, and SmackDown when I can, when I'm not going out on a Friday night, you know, as you tend to do.
Right.
And NXT, I've kind of same deal with AEW. Haven't really been keeping up, but and like I'll be honest, a lot of these like international pay per views that WWE has been doing, they're on at like 3 p.m. when I'm still at work on a Saturday, and
or they go
noon till 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I'm still at work on a Saturday, and when I get home, I don't know. I find it difficult to watch a non-live pay-per-view.
Oh, definitely.
Like, it's just it doesn't have that same excitement to it,
I
guess.
In the moment.
It's oh fuck, I got to stay off my phone.
Yeah. Well, I mean that it's just more so like you open up an app and randomly it's like the first thing is like a spoiler for the paper
you're like,
trying to watch.
Oh,
yeah.
Son of a bitch.
It's like, why do I follow wrestling? Oh. Why do I follow wrestling pages online? But
Start arguments because it's fun.
Oh, of course. I should really unfollow AEW. sorry, Tony. You don't really need my follow. But
sorry, we couldn't help you find your keys.
Yeah, but sorry I missed your special announcement. I've been keeping up with it in literature by reading news articles and watching YouTube recap videos without actually watching the product, to speak. So I'm a little bit caught up, and I know a little bit of the goings on currently as of today, Sunday, September 22nd. So
okay,
maybe get into it a little bit.
We did manage to finagle a few topics here, and what I kind of want to start off with first is, and I'm glad you mentioned Raw and SmackDown and all that, but okay, what exactly is going on with the time? SmackDown is going to 3 hours, or has?
Yep. As of January. In January, SmackDown will be going from 2 to 3 hours, because right now, as we speak, all three WWE shows are on the USA Network, because the SmackDown just ended its deal with Fox and went to the USA Network.
Okay.
NXT is currently on USA. We'll be going to the CW next month in October. And come January, Raw will be moving off the USA Network and going to Netflix. But that's all in America. Everywhere else in the world, all three shows are going to be on Netflix. So,
so we'll get Raw, SmackDown.
Yeah, and so because Raw is moving off the USA Network, they have an extra hour to fill. So they want SmackDown now to be a 3-hour show, and it was just confirmed the other day that will in fact be happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, okay. So, but right now, as we speak here in Canada, nothing changes, because it's not on USA here.
It's on Sportsnet.
We have our own Sportsnet.
All wrestling in Canada, for those who don't know, are actually on sports channels, not like television networks.
Yes, which is kind of the way it should be.
Like in the States, you got them on like Fox, USA, CW, whatever, TNT.
Peacock.
TNN, or TBS, like... Right. They're all on like TV networks that air like sitcoms and stuff,
including TNA, which is on the Fight Network. Out here, which is perfect.
Yeah, or it's not. It used to be on Spike, and then it was on like I forget what channel it got moved to. It's moved around, but I've never seen them have an American deal with like a sports channel or anything like that.
Right,
but up here. Different story. all WWE programming is on Sportsnet 360, and all AEW programming is on TSN.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So this is all switching to Netflix?
Yes. All WWE stuff we will be getting on Netflix, and their deal with Sportsnet will be running up by that time.
Okay. What's your opinion of this? Good, bad, indifferent?
Indifferent, because I can still watch it. I feel that not as many people have cable nowadays as they do streaming services. Right. So I feel that will put a lot more eyes on the product.
Well, just think how many people around the world who don't get wrestling now will.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like it's on a sports channel in England too, but it'll I imagine it'll be moving off of that and to Netflix as well. But
and it's probably on at 2 a.m. over there.
Yeah, well, 6 hours later. Yeah, it would be close to anyway. But I'm okay with it, because like, for one, no commercial breaks.
Apparently, so, there's gonna be commercials still.
Really? Well, for SmackDown and NXT, because they're still gonna be on CW and USA
Network.
And
if there is commercials for Raw, it would be like. Probably Netflix based.
They're gonna plan the matches like around like the ad version, the version of Netflix you get that has ads, I guess. So
it'll be an ad for like a Netflix show or some shit.
Yeah, but it'll be no different than when we get picture in picture for like AEW shows. So,
but at least it won't be a 5-minute goddamn commercial.
No, whatever. Like I don't think it'll affect it too much. No. But I'm more stoked that it's not going to be like, it's not going to have a television rating anymore. It's going to be like, they're going to be allowed to do a little bit more edgy stuff.
That's true enough.
I've already seen memes. The first Raw of 2025. Seth fucking Rollins.
Okay, so that kind of answers my question. Do you guys feel they're going to, like, is the Attitude Era coming back because they're on Netflix?
No, it's because fans are.
I don't know if it's going to go that far, but I definitely think there will be more freedom to write scripts around. They don't have to be so cautious about, like, the words that they choose.
Just bring the hardcore title back. Not the 24-7 bullshit. Right. Bring the hardcore title back.
Not the surprise roll-up championship.
No.
But the world has changed since the Attitude Era. And now maybe the viewing audience really doesn't want to see the divas, crawling around in their underwear.
I don't think they'd bring that aspect of the Attitude Era back. Oh, okay. They wouldn't bring that back. If they did bring an aspect of the Attitude Era back, it would probably be like the language, not as vulgar as it was, but like the language would be a little more risque, and the matches would be a little more hardcore, so to speak. Like, blood will not be a banned thing in WWE anymore.
Like in that match with Balor and Joe, where 2 seconds in, Joe got cut. And they almost stopped.
They had to stop the match and super glue his cuts closed. Yeah.
And Joe was just shoving them off, like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yep. So that's I'm looking forward to. But as always, with anything to do with WWE, I'm cautiously optimistic. So, even into the Triple H regime, I'm still a little just like, see where this goes, because he hasn't been batting 1,000. Like, nobody, no wrestling booker bats 1,000. He's made some questionable booking decisions since he took over, but like the Judgment Day has only defended their tag team titles once in 2 months. Yeah.
Okay,
just copying AEW because the Bucks have done the same.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to see it go Attitude Era, but it would catch my attention if they kind of did the booking and the writing kind of like the way the old Universal, the first, when Mid-South changed the name to the Universal Wrestling Federation in 85. Okay, it was hard hitting, it was action. Language really wasn't an issue in pro wrestling at the time, but it was violent. Like, there was cage matches on TV, there was taped fist matches, everyone was bleeding all over the place, but it wasn't just blood for blood's sake.
No, like, you know? There's like, I definitely think that it's going to be a lot, like, they're going to have a lot more freedom to use like weapons and stuff. I'm not saying I will reiterate, I'm not saying bring back the bra and panties matches, I'm not saying bring back chair shots to the head.
No, but please,
yeah, do not bring back unprotected chair shots to the head. But like blading, that's been
go nuts.
Yeah, go nuts. Like, shit. As long as you don't do what Eddie Guerrero did with the blading.
Yeah.
But
yeah, just don't put yourself in shock and you'll be fine. And
yeah, it'll be great. But
don't do it every match.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, save it. Save a little bit of it. You know,
right.
Like,
yeah, for when it counts.
Yeah, but with that being said, though, like, Raw is not going to be confined to a time limit on their show when it moves to Netflix. Although NXT and SmackDown still will, because they're still on network television in the States.
Oh, okay.
But Raw, like Raw is actually, for its last couple months on the USA network, it's going back to 2 hours. So So from October till January, all three WWE shows are going to be 2 hours long. And then, when it moves to Netflix, Raw is going back to 3 hours, maybe even, like, who knows, 3:15, maybe 2:45.
It doesn't really overtime.
SmackDown will be going to 3 hours on the USA network. NXT will be remaining at 2, so that means we're gonna get it around 8 hours of weekly WWE television.
Don't forget main event.
Oh,
which is an hour.
Oh, the oh yeah, well, that I barely count that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Isn't
for that
just?
One.
That's filler.
Recap.
That's dark matches. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's really still like, and same with NXT Level Up. I don't count that either. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I remember a time those job matches, like in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The NWA main event we're doing better numbers than Raw does now these days. And it was just job matches and promos. And
yeah, well,
it just goes to...
and it's like, well, nowadays with cable numbers being the way they are, like ratings, like 1 million is considered like good.
It's good. Like, back, yeah. What the hell was that? NWA main event was doing too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and like, I remember when Raw was like a few years ago was doing like 2.6 and everyone was just like, oh, that's compared to like their 9 million back in the Attitude Era.
Right.
But again, the way people consume media has vastly changed over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, true enough.
So that contributes to it. And like, well, you can call it shifting the goalpost if you want, but really it's just like adjusting to the times, if anything. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with that, I don't know, like, I guess how they're going to measure how many people tuned into Raw and like, or I don't know if they're going to be releasing those numbers or what, like they do every week with cable, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, I'm more interested to see how you'll be able to watch it. If you'll be able to like tune in halfway through and watch it from the beginning, or if you have to watch it like
when it's over,
or if you turn it on like an hour in, if you have to start it from there and can't rewind, like,
oh, okay.
I hope you can watch it from the beginning.
So we'll figure that out January 6th.
We'll figure that out, yeah.
But
where will you be January 6th?
Watching Monday Night Raw.
Is it going to be live?
It is, yes.
On Netflix?
It's going to be live on Netflix, and I don't know if the replay will be up immediately after, but these details haven't been released yet, so it's all kind of up in the air, but I hope. Because like usually what I do with any wrestling programming I watch is that I set it to record on my PVR and then I watch it like an hour into it so I can just fast forward through all the commercials and still reach the end when it's supposed to end.
Right. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that I'll still be able to do that.
And then technically you've only watched TV for half an hour.
Technically. I'm just fast forwarding through all the ads that I would have had to watch like every commercial break. The same goddamn Nissan ad, the same pizza place ad, like the same video game ad. Like
the 20-minute promos.
Yeah. Well, that's
the
another
recaps of the 20-minute promos.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that's another benefit for SmackDown going to 3 hours, because they have the Bloodline, and the Bloodline usually involves 20-minute promos. Yeah. So having a 3-hour show would benefit for that. Mm-hmm. I'd say
for Bloodline purposes.
For Bloodline purposes.
I remember there was this one Nitro during the height of the NWO. It was 40 minutes. Until they finally got to a match, because Hogan yapped for half an hour.
Yeah.
Someone else came out and did another promo, and I'm looking at the clock, looking at my watch. Like, okay, when are they going to get to a match? It was like 40 fucking minutes.
Now, Triple H used to do that in like the late 90s, early 2000s, too. So he'd come out. Like, Austin! The Rock!
Yeah. So, yeah, I think interesting is going to be.
Yep.
You know, and hopefully
I'm not going to be we're not going to be holding a watch party for it, but
no, but, and it'll be Monday and Friday still.
Yeah. And NXT is still going to be on Tuesdays. And yeah, as far as, and AEW has apparently signed a new deal, but they haven't really released the details of it yet. So,
but apparently everything is showing up on HBO Max.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't get that up in Canada. So that's useless information for us. But if they could put it on, like, I don't know, if they could put AEW on like Amazon Prime or something, that'd be useful.
Yeah. Amazon Elite Wrestling.
You know exactly. Yeah.
Oh jeez. Wow.
All Bezos Wrestling. He's not even with Amazon, but
staying within the Fed. Okay, I guess that's an outdated term.
The ent.
Yeah.
The ent.
Staying within the ent. Saturday Night Live is returning.
Saturday Night Live? You mean Saturday's
Saturday main event.
It's, yeah.
Which is okay, yeah. Sort of.
Yeah. You know, Saturday Night's Live. Yeah. It will be live and it will be on a Saturday night.
I remember when Saturday Night Main Event first started that once a month. Okay, there was a lot of pissed off Saturday Night Live fans that would come on when they go to sit down and press, you know,
because it was also on NBC, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Like Saturday Night Live, I don't know if it was preempted or it got pushed back, I just remembered, like, in high school, showing up on Monday, and Saturday Night Live fans giving me shit because their program got preempted by wrestling.
So you're stupid fucking wrestling.
Yeah, like, it was my fault. Oh, I was not only was I known as, like, the biggest metalhead in the school, obviously. That's no surprise. I was also had a reputation as the biggest wrestling fan.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Surprise, surprise. So, yeah, it was my fault.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're the one who called NBC and said, hey, let's get this WWF program to push back Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. And Saturday Night Main Event was hit and miss. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
a lot of it was just to push Hogan, you know, and I didn't understand how Hogan was the first match.
Yeah,
you know, and then the last match was like Tito Santana versus one of the Bolsheviks. Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, they've brought it back a couple of times over the years as like a special event that, and it's always been on NBC as far as I know, right. Where they've used it to like push John Cena.
Right.
It's like,
but isn't
so? Is the main event a handicap match between One Man Gang and the Killer Bees? What's going on?
That's more interesting than Hogan.
Yeah,
but. But,
anything's more interesting than Hogan.
Saturday Night Main Event, though, was special because it was what we said back in the day was big name versus big name, because on TV, all you had were job matches. Mm-hmm. So Saturday Night Live was kind of special.
Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Don't even bother correcting me, because I'm going to screw it up.
We're just going to grind his gears now.
Yeah. We're going to gnaw at him.
We're going to gnaw at him.
Yeah, you're going to gnaw at him. Yeah. So it was Saturday Night Main Event was always something special. Come along Raw, you know, and Nitro and the ECW programming and all that. There's no job matches on TV anymore. It's all big name versus big name. Saturday Night Main Event kind of became redundant.
A little bit, yeah.
Do you think people are going to tune in to another 2 hours, even if it's every other month?
Yeah.
You think,
I don't know if they're bringing it back on a regular basis. I think they're just doing it as like a special one-time event. Like, that's going to be on TV, not on pay-per-view or on the network.
I've heard Jesse Ventura's doing commentary.
Okay, I'm in. Okay. I'm in. I'll watch that.
I ain't got time to bleed. Is he going to be doing it's a little side tangent? Do you guys remember that show that Jesse Ventura did called Conspiracy Theory? Like a little while ago.
Something tells me this day and age is something I want to watch now.
Oh, I'll show it to you afterwards. If anyone out there has never checked out Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, if you just want to watch some bullshit mindless television and not take any of it seriously, check it out.
Well, this WWE,
but like, yeah, if you. Like, if you're a fan of, like, if you don't take conspiracy theories to heart and you don't, like take it as, like, absolute truth like some people do, like certain people do, then, yeah, go ahead and check it out. But if you're one of those people who thinks this is all real, and then, well, I guess it's not going to harm you any more than you already are. But
no, now that you mention it, I remember ads for it, but I never gave it
any. Oh, it's just one of those stupid shows that you would see on, like, Fox or Spike TV or something like that, with Jesse Ventura and his team investigating a conspiracy theory. Really, it's just them walking up to people and harassing them for information. Tell me about the aliens. I don't know. Is that a good Jesse Ventura impression?
Good enough.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Good enough.
You just got to always sound like you have a fucking mouthful of tobacco chew.
Turns you into
a sexual tyrannosaurus.
The Chris Van Fleet interview with Jesse Ventura, did you watch it?
No.
He brings Karrion Kross on.
Oh, I've heard Karrion Kross's impression of
and they talk
Jesse
to
Ventura.
Each other for like 5 minutes, both doing the same voice.
Don't tell me you don't have four more reps in you.
And then Jesse's like, very good, but you gotta speak more with your teeth.
You gotta speak more with your...
Right on. Conspiracy theories. Well, I watched the most recent Predator movie.
Right.
Okay. The most recent one.
Yeah. Prey. Right.
Yeah. The most recent.
Yeah. Okay.
And it kind of makes me want to go back and watch the first one again, which yeah. I haven't seen in a while.
I haven't
so
Predator 1, 2, and Prey are really good movies. I can't really say that about any of the other Predator movies, but
yeah, some of them were kind of hit and miss. What kind of gnawed at me, though, is I saw that Prey was up on one of my streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
You know, we talked about this the other night on Radioactive Metal, how you were like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
how you didn't like how they didn't have the they were speaking in English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would have gone for having them speak Comanche
with English subtitles.
Yeah. Fine, because I've been watching international movies forever.
Fair enough.
Okay. Now I find after watching it the first time, they released the Comanche version.
Hmm.
No subtitles, nothing. Okay, where was that? you know, that's the only version that's appearing on my TV from now on. So, yeah, that's something that I just kind of wanted to throw out there. And what Matt is talking about, by the time this comes to air, the latest episode of our sister show, Radioactive Metal, should be available. And I had Mr. Copper on.
Yep.
And I had my daughter, Little Snowy, on.
Yeah, that was kind of my unofficial return to the Shining Wizards Network after my sabbatical was that. So we were talking about James Earl Jones, and
So
go check that out if you haven't.
Please, kind of, sort of, staying within the realm of the WWE. Okay, JBL
has
been appearing in the indies.
He just shows up wherever the fuck he wants, apparently. Like, he showed up in TNA. He showed up in GCW, AAA.
MLW.
MLW, okay, yeah.
GCW.
I guess he's like, is he like talent scouting? Like, what is he doing?
Maybe talent scouting.
I imagine he must be talent scouting.
Arrive, clothesline from hell, leave.
Poaching. But like, his interaction in TNA was with Nick Nemeth. It's just like, no, like this, you've already done that. Like, do a thing without an ex WWE guy. Like, have JBL and like, I don't know, Moose. Like,
yeah. Honestly, and I've been kind of out of the loop with TNA as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like JBL. I don't like him as a person.
And no,
I really don't care. I'm kind of JBL'd out now.
I liked the Bradshaw character when he was like a rough and tough beer drinking, cigar smoking Texan.
Yeah, when he was in DOA or
APA.
When
he was in APA with Farouk. Right, they had the Acolyte Protection Agency.
Yeah.
They had like the little doorway set up just like.
Just in a random
hallway. Just in a random hallway next to their poker table, and they insisted that people actually had to walk through the door.
Someone walks around the door and like,
you just walk through a wall. But yeah, Bradshaw. I loved Bradshaw. The character.
Right.
I didn't like JBL when he turned into like the Wall Street tycoon, and I don't like John Layfield as a person
There's nothing about him.
Yeah. And speaking of which, they're not referring to him as JBL or John Bradshaw Layfield in any of these indie appearances. He's just John Layfield.
Right. So, that's a WWF copyright.
Yeah, they got a they have the name Bradshaw trademarked, so obviously, yeah, that's they can't.
I wonder what Terry Bradshaw, the football player, thinks of that.
I don't know.
The Hall of Famer NFL player thinks of that. You know, my name is copywritten? What?
Well, for the purposes of wrestling.
Professional wrestling. I know, but it just must be weird.
Yeah.
Someone probably over the decades at some point said to Terry Bradshaw, yeah, WWF owns your name. What?
Excuse me?
I'd like to be there for that conversation.
Yeah, well, like I'm interested to see like if anything will come, like if there'll be an explanation at all as to why he's just showing up in all these promotions. Is it like, is he putting together a team? Are we seeing is this like the Avengers but for wrestling?
So far it's Dolph Ziggler, Matt Warner.
But like even with that, it now definitely feels like WWE is not like localized in its own bubble anymore. Like the Forbidden Door or Prohibited Portal, whatever you want to call it, is now like wide open, like not just them working with TNA as they still are, but like it did, like people are like AJ Styles is wrestling matches in Japan, and like even Shinsuke Nakamura wrestled against
Muda
in Japan, and wow. Yeah,
and like WWE people are wrestling for GCW now too.
Yep, and like I said, NXT people are going to TNA, TNA people are going to NXT.
Yep.
Like it feels like Joe Hendry is more of an NXT guy nowadays than he is a TNA guy. Yeah. But he'll and Jordan Grace seems like she might be putting pen to paper with WWE soon too. So
yeah, we'll to see. Be honest, yeah. If I was running NXT,
yeah,
Joe Hendry is money.
I thought about this whole thing. Yeah, I thought about this the other day. Like that guy, he's getting like mentioned, like he's trending on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And like he's being like integrated into like news stories and stuff, and like people are like saying say his name and he appears, and then there'll be like a Joe Hendry reference, and they'll be like, no, not you. Yeah. But I was just thinking, like he has to be in the Royal Rumble next.
Imagine
year.
That, Bob. Mm-hmm.
Like I can just imagine the countdown timer, and then it's just like dark for like 5 seconds, and then just. The thunderous ovation that he would get as soon as you hear say his name, and like people in that stadium would go nuts.
Because I could see it's like the lights would go out for 5 seconds, and us, it's going to be like, God damn it, not Undertaker.
Yeah.
Say his name.
Yeah. As soon as that happens, people are going to lose their goddamn minds. And you know what? Good for him. He's earned it. Like, he's put in all this work. To be like to get the recognition that he's gotten at this point. I'm glad he's got the platform on both TNA and NXT now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a matter of time before he shows up on like Raw or SmackDown after his TNA contract runs up. And yeah, it's you love to see it. It's just one of those things that just makes you smile.
Just as long as the WWF doesn't mess with him.
Yeah.
Give him
well,
something stupid and
less of a chance of that happening now than there was when certain people were around.
Right.
he would be Kerwin White the second.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He that should not be named.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chavo Guerrero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I guess we just. Yeah, what's the old term for wrestling? Let it play out. to see what happens with JBL.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I fucking hate Bradshaw, seeing him clothesline from hell people still is still kind of great.
Yeah, nobody sold it better than Billy Gunn, though.
No.
Like, not even Rey Mysterio sold a clothesline from hell better than Billy Gunn.
Well, Rey's so close to the ground anyway.
Yeah, but you'd figure that the little guys would be able to flip more. Like, guys like the Hurricane and Rey Mysterio would be able to do more impressive flips with the clothesline. But no, you got this guy that's every bit as big as JBL himself. Who just like does a full on like flip in the air.
I'm gonna whisper in the wind.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. But yeah.
Even Rikishi took them.
Oh yeah, Rikishi was pretty good at it too. But no, I wanna see Billy Gunn just take one more clothesline from
him. Yeah.
if that's the only thing I get out of this, then cool. Whatever.
Fair enough. Yeah. What's the I'm hearing scuttlebutt.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what it for whatever that is, but the Lucha Brothers are looking at WWF.
Yeah, their contracts with AEW. There's too many acronyms, but their contracts with AEW are. I don't know if they have expired yet, but they have been off TV, and PAC has even been moved into the Blackpool Combat Club now, and Death Triangle doesn't even seem to be a thing. So. Yeah, it definitely seems there was a report the other day that they had officially signed, but then there's been counter reports saying that they haven't officially signed, like, or Penta has, but Rey Fénix hasn't. So to sum it up, I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did go to WWE. Where they would go, I think they would skip over NXT. They don't really need NXT.
No.
I don't think.
Wow.
But a counterpoint, I don't want them to get put into the LWO with all the other Lucha people. Because
That's
just like a little kid like fun time stable nowadays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which that I don't even like that.
No, I don't either.
Been brought back.
Like, well, originally when it was brought back as Legado del Fantasma, and they were using the LWO, they were using like the same like design as the LWO, but it said like Legado or LDG or LDF, sorry. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. That's like a little throwback. But then they just went back and called it the LWO again, and I was just like, oh, well, that was a failed experiment in WCW 20 years ago. Yeah. Why are you bringing that back?
Why?
Yeah.
You know, what makes you think it's going to work now?
Yeah.
And then the NWO came back and kicked all their asses, and that was the end of that.
And kind of sort of along the same lines, the Motor Machine Guns.
Motor City Machine Guns, yeah.
Yeah, have they... They've left TNA?
Yes, and they have put pen to paper with WWE. So it's only a matter of time before they debut. Again, these dudes are in their 40s, so I can't see them showing up in NXT. Like, right. Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, they're pretty well-seasoned veterans. So,
But I've also heard rumors that they're going to show up at the October 1st.
NXT. Oh, for NXT?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's going to be in Chicago, like in an arena. So that's a bigger crowd, but like, I don't know. I don't want... I'm guessing they're kind of at the stage in their career where they're basically just doing it for a paycheck. It's like they're doing it for the money now, and then they can retire and be comfortable.
Because they're thinking about, you know, their lives 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't blame them. You know, they've done it all on the indies and all that. Just as a fan, I don't like to see talent like that leaving TNA.
No, yeah, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, talent like that on a stage like WWE. It's fun to see, and I hope they get a tag team title run, which I would assume they would. But yeah, like again, it's just another one of those things where you just gotta watch and see and let it play out. I'm assuming they'll if they don't debut at NXT, if they debut sooner at Bad Blood, perhaps. I don't know, but. Maybe they'll debut on Raw and take away the tag team titles from the Judgment Day. Because, Finn Balor and JD McDonagh aren't doing anything with those belts, nope. So...
Oh, okay.
I can see it. Yeah, mystery team.
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns.
I don't even know who's champions in the WWF right now. Who's the world champion?
Gunther.
Yeah, he still is.
Yeah, Gunther's world heavyweight champion, and Cody Rhodes is WWE champion. Yeah. On SmackDown. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, yeah, the... Intercontinental is Braun Breaker. US is LA Knight. Tag team champions on Raw are Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. Tag team champions on SmackDown are Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. Who else? Women's champion Liv Morgan on Raw, and on SmackDown is Nia Jax for some reason.
Oh, okay.
And, and I think that in NXT, Ethan Page is NXT champion.
Yep.
North American champion is still Oba Femi.
Yep.
Women's champion is Roxanne Perez.
Okay, that's good.
The North American champion is, I forget her name, Kalani Jordan?
I think so.
Okay, I didn't forget her name. Yeah, she's women's North American champion.
Okay.
And tag team champions are still Axiom and Nathan Frazier?
Yes.
Or again? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think that covers everything.
All caught up.
And apparently soon I've heard rumors we're getting a women's Intercontinental Championship and a women's US Championship.
Oh, because we need that. Oh, yeah, and Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are the women's tag team champions.
Right.
Yeah.
Again. Lita made a good point in a post she made the other day.
What's that?
She eventually wants to see, like, the women's and men's name drop from belt.
They tried that in NXT, and it kind of seemed to just confuse people. Like, they tried calling the NXT Women's Championship just the NXT Championship, but then, like, they just went back to calling it the Women's Championship.
Because remember when they teased for a minute that it was going to be Solo and Rhea?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was... Well, Rhea was the NXT Women's Champion when they tried doing the experiment of being, oh, she's the NXT Champion, but so is this guy. It's like, wait, what? Huh?
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, it's the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Roe, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling, and the Tots Paw, introducing the world to wrestling action figure collecting. Also on Mondays, it's 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Rounding out Mondays, it's the Shining Wizards, covering everything in the world of pro wrestling. On Wednesdays, it's the Mark Order Podcast, keeping you up to date on everything AEW. On Fridays, it's Horns Up, as Radioactive Metal brings you everything in the world of heavy metal music. And on Saturdays, it's the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like Bread Club, bringing you the latest from New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, your watch-along from Down Under, featuring the greatest wrestling matches in history. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling. Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin. Going Underground, taking you back to everything in the history of Lucha Underground. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
So basically, yeah. Lita is saying they
at
don't
at some
want
point she would like to see
the gender
thing just gone.
Yeah.
Okay, that works once in a while.
Yeah, but like
under certain circumstances and for single angles.
Yeah, like I don't know.
But as a regular thing?
That would get very confusing. And I don't know, like, does that imply that anyone can compete for any championship?
Like, I guess as long as they're quote unquote the heavyweight.
I suppose.
And what's a heavyweight in the women's division?
Well, I don't know.
Nia Jax.
Well, they're not even called heavyweights. It's just the women's world championship and the WWE women's championship.
Oh, okay. So
there's no weight class.
Okay. Like I said, it would work on certain angles. It worked in Impact with Tessa Blanchard.
Yes.
You know.
And then she refused to defend.
And then she
COVID happened.
She bit herself in the ass. But you put the WWF title, you know, on Rhea Ripley, mm-hmm. and now she's supposed to defend it regularly
against
men.
Yeah, against guys like Gunther and like Seth Rollins.
Right.
And, yeah.
You know, and it's not going to work. It's going to make. And I love women's wrestling.
Oh, I do too.
You know,
but
I actually prefer to watch the women's wrestling over the guys a lot of the time. For long term,
yeah,
it's not going to work. Well, it's just going to make your guys look weak.
And it's just like when China won the Intercontinental title, when she was feuding with Jeff Jarrett, and then she feuded with Chris Jericho over it when Jarrett took off for WCW, and yeah, And then after she lost it, she went and won the women's championship, and I was just like, well, I don't know, it's all very confusing, and there's so much there's so many layers to this that I don't know, I don't really know where to go without pissing someone off. So
well, unfortunately,
yes, I understand the whole thing about not confining things in a box to certain gender norms and gender roles or whatever, but at the same time, when it comes to physical combat,
yeah, if you want to keep it realistic,
yeah, it's like
that's the idea.
I'm not going to assume that Liv Morgan is going to become WWE champion competing against Roman Reigns, you know?
Yeah, you know what? In a street fight,
mm-hmm.
and wrestling is supposed to be real, you know. Gunther versus Liv Morgan.
Yeah, that's
15 seconds,
maybe.
I'm not
discrediting Liv Morgan for her skills. She's a very talented wrestler.
Yeah,
but at the same time, let's be real here.
Let's be real.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see her. I don't want to see her get beat up by the big Austrian man.
Right. And then on the other hand, you don't want to see Liv Morgan beating the holy hell out of your roster, because like I just said, it's going to make your roster look weak.
Yeah. If Gunther loses to Liv Morgan,
what
does that do to his aura?
He's done.
Yeah.
He's done. So yeah, Morgan better be your cash cow for the next 10 years, because that's all you're going to have. Yep. Before we kind of jump in this episode's turnbuckle talk, there's one more thing this is the thing that's kind of caught my attention the most the past little while regarding the world of professional wrestling. Grand Slam, when is that?
The Australian one or the Dynamite?
Yeah, the Dynamite Grand Slam. I
think it's this week, isn't it?
I think this coming week?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so in a couple days as we speak.
Yes.
Okay, and that's at the
Arthur Ashe Stadium.
And that's one of their higher rated shows.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like out of the 20,000 tickets that you can get for it, like the first time they did it there, they sold out and it looked cool, but apparently they are struggling to even move 5,000 now.
Wow. Okay. Already I'm seeing the memes.
Oh.
Though.
Totally.
That Grand Slam is going to be going up head to head against an Indiana Fever WNBA basketball game.
Right.
More importantly,
they're
going up against Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Now, I know you guys aren't sports guys.
Sports.
But Caitlin Clark right now is probably one of the most talked about sports figures going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was like, I'm a quote unquote regular sports fan.
Yep.
I have been before wrestling, before heavy metal. And.
Well, I used to go to baseball games. I used to play baseball, so baseball is the only professional sport that I know all the rules to. So yeah.
Okay.
It's not confusing like football where I see guys running and all of a sudden I hear a whistle blow and I'm just like, what happened?
That guy hit that guy.
Yeah.
Why?
What happened? I just saw guys running and now they stopped because they heard a
One of these days,
I work at the stadium. And I don't know.
One of these days, I'm going to sit down and try to explain roller derby.
God! So the women, the women just push each other on the roller skates.
It's kind of what it looks like, but no, there's a lot more.
It's a giant circle pit.
It looks like it, but no,
it's a circle pit with roller skates.
They just roll around all the time, just presumably listening to Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
With going up against Caitlin Clark, it's going to be a tough row to hoe because when she's on, because she set all of these records in college basketball, first round draft pick, when the Indiana Fever are playing, and it's not like, you know, the WNBA is this huge thing. I can't even name you all the teams. Okay.
No.
But when she's on, Fever games rival NBA games in terms of ratings and all that, because everyone wants to see, you know, her play. And I'm the same way. You know, I enjoy the WNBA. I don't know the league that well, but when she's on, I make sure that I'm tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the way I feel, because like I said, I've kind of been taking a mental sabbatical from wrestling as well. Clark is just more interesting than the AEW right now.
Yeah, but then like the point that the thing that I'm kind of cringing about when it comes to that is that it seems like AEW are already making excuses as to why their their ratings are going to suck. Uh-huh. It's like they're already admitting defeat.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, this week we went up against a basketball game. Oh, this TV show we went up against. Yeah.
Well, it's like in TNA back in the day, like right before when they announced that Hulk Hogan was coming and before he had already debuted. Like Mike Tenay is on commentary being like, Hulk Hogan is coming to Total Nonstop Action, and this is going to be the thing that is going to push TNA into the big time. And I'm just like, so you're admitting that you're small time. Yeah. Like when you do stuff like that, when you acknowledge stuff like that, it hurts the, it hurts the perception of the product.
It does.
Itself.
Definitely. That's why as well. When a WWF wrestler in the 80s would leave and go to an indie or whatever, and they would automatically put that title you know, particularly I'm thinking of the old Stampede territory. Mm-hmm. Don Morocco showed up. His first match, they put the title. They put the title on him. Mm-hmm. Davey Boy Smith, his first match, he put the title on him. Okay, now you're saying that your federation, even though it's an indie, is subpar to the WWF, and that's
You're saying that this guy that came from WWF is superior to all your guys.
Yeah, he's just gonna steamroller over all of us. Yep. And now that's probably Morocco and Smith saying, "Well, if you want me, this is their ego."
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to put the title on me right away.
Mm-hmm. They Charlotted their way in there. Yeah. They were Charlotte Flair before Charlotte Flair was even a thing.
At the end of the day, though, with the whole Caitlin Clark versus AEW, I'm very good with the click, mm-hmm. click, you know.
You have your thumb firmly on that last channel button.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. And when my mother-in-law was with us, man, that drove her crazy. Because
mm-hmm.
I would watch wrestling, commercial come on, click to the hockey game, mm-hmm. the baseball game. Well, why don't you just watch one? Because the other one is on, too.
Don't you see the commercial?
Well, yeah, like I remember being able to do that briefly when NXT and AEW were going head to head for a little bit, and I was like, oh, this is so cool! I could just flip back and forth, and then NXT moved to Tuesdays, and I'm just like, well, that didn't take long. I was like flipping back and forth. I'm like, this is just like Mondays in the 90s.
I can't handle the AEW picture-in-picture.
No, I don't even look at the screen. I still fast forward through the commercials.
Yeah, me too.
I click. I put it on the I switch it on to the Jays game or whatever.
Like NXT does that too, but it's like during the picture-in-picture commercial break, it's like the screen showing the wrestling is so small.
Yep. It's in the upper left.
Yeah, corner. You're not going to sit there like focusing on that while there's a big ass ad like in the rest.
You want pizza.
Taking up the other 75% of the screen.
Yeah, it just doesn't work for me.
Like you want pizza. I do want pizza.
And like the matches are planned out, so nothing interesting or anything of note happens during those commercial breaks anyway. So it's just like, I'm just going to fast forward.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to skip to a different channel as you would like.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah. It's like I'm like putting it in picture isn't going to keep me here is what I'm trying to say.
If the picture in picture was half what's on, half commercials, sure.
Even then I wouldn't because like I said, nothing interesting or of note happens during that stuff. So yeah, it's like trying to, it's like watching wrestling on your phone, essentially. It's like if you took your phone and put it like way over here,
uh-huh.
and we're trying to watch it from if I tried to put it on the shelf over there, that would be like what it's like watching wrestling,
right?
On picture in picture.
I can't watch sports and wrestling on my phone.
Yeah,
you know, maybe my bigger tablet or something, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not my phone.
I've watched, I can't watch movies on my phone. It's just like, I forget who said this, when that first started happening, where they're just like, I find it hard to find King Kong intimidating when his head is the size of a chiclet.
Fair enough.
That's good.
So for this episode's Turnbuckle Talk, I'm going to kind of.
We forgot one thing.
Oh, what?
Zilla Fatu.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Damn it. Ah, whatever. We'll just skip that.
Not really.
Basically, he's not working anymore any day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So is he going to show up in WWE?
Bad blood?
Who knows? Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Bad bloodline.
But also, Booker T has said he's hard to work with, so...
Who knows? What it could mean.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay, for this episode's Turnbuckle Talk, I'm kind of... This is going to be nothing new because I've done this before, but going to go back into time here.
Okay.
A little bit. I want to say hello and big shout out to our band, or to a good friend of ours at the show and personally friend of ours, Mr. Curtis Howson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You work with him as security, right?
Well, Curtis, I'm not security anymore, but he is when he can.
You have experience working security with him.
With the oak tree,
smile and nod.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Yeah. And he's He has a really cool collectible shop that I like to visit a lot. First Row Collectibles.
Yep.
Shout out. You know, everyone in the Winnipeg area, or when you will be in the Winnipeg area.
Which I want to come with you to next
week. Okay, yeah. Next.
Hit up Main Street.
Next time, yeah, yeah. It's
the good
it's
part really of Main Street.
Yeah, there's two versions of Main Street.
There's
yeah.
the, you stay the fuck away yeah. from this part, and yeah. oh, it's fine over here.
And then yeah. there's the part that First Row Collectibles in. And Mr. Howson is also an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most recently on the APTN network, which is our First Nation Indigenous channel, there the first season, just six episodes of a sitcom called Not Even. Okay, where it was based, it's shot in Winnipeg,
mm-hmm.
based in Winnipeg, about a couple people, you know, young ladies that just graduated from high school.
Okay.
And Mr. Howson was playing the Eradicator or something as a wrestler in a really, really indie match, because it was basically a ring set up at a rave, okay, at the old Garbage Hill location, which to everyone outside of Winnipeg, Garbage Hill is it's basically a...
it's not a landfill, or maybe it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be a landfill, but it's now a public park.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was, you know, that was his shtick for the sitcom, and I want to recommend everyone. It's up on Crave now.
Mm-hmm.
We binged all six episodes. We loved it.
Is Kurt Housen related to Dan Housen?
In a street fight, my money's on Curtis.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. Well, one
unless
of the
he gets
things,
cashed.
one of the things that I go to First Row is to pick up as many of the old After magazines
yep.
that I can. And recently I had picked up an old Victory Sports Series wrestling annual from 1980.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a day and a night.
It's held up well.
It is. For, it is. Yeah. Yes,
for over
yes.
40 years. Yeah.
Yes, I just pulled it out of the plastic bag and cardboard, which, you know, you're supposed to have your magazines and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Inside this was this amazing article. Okay, now it's an After mag, you know, they're work mags,
mm-hmm.
you know, their interviews never happened.
No,
you know, Baron Von Raschke didn't fly from Minnesota to New York to have a 10-minute conversation. You know, like,
but
you know,
thinking about it is pretty fun,
you know, for sure. For sure. Like, but if you go into it like it's real, you're going to enjoy it.
Of course.
You know, and
well, that's just like you've basically described professional wrestling.
Right. 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 Well, this particular issue had a really neat article in it that I want to share with our listeners and kind of give our two cents
okay.
in it. Okay. It's an exclusive okay article. Where the top stars reveal my dreams for the 80s.
Hmm.
Hey, this is the start of the 80s.
Literally.
And yeah.
1980. Yep.
So there's about a dozen of these wrestlers where basically they made up. Or better yet,
that magazine is older than I am. I just get like, really, like that thing that you're holding in your hands is older than me.
Yes.
6 years older than myself.
That's
Jeez.
Right. That's yeah. right. So with every,
my back hurts looking at that magazine.
They have.
I mean, I sprained my back last week, so my back hurts. Fucking period. But.
Yeah, but the magazine ain't helping.
No. Oh God.
Well, they quote unquote talked to about 10 wrestlers,
of course,
to get their take on what they want to do in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go through all these, go through, you know, everyone, and then we're going to share whether or not that happened.
Whether. Okay, so we have to guess whether or not it happened.
Well,
or do you, yeah.
You know, you can kind of guess.
Yeah.
Like you can kind of figure it out. Okay, wrestler number one. His dream for the 1980s is, I would like to cripple every scientific wrestler.
Scientific wrestler.
Scientific wrestler.
Now, what is that? What is the term scientific wrestler
basically
mean?
In today's terminology, since it's now out in the open, there was two things in the aftermags. There's okay. two kind of wrestlers. There was the scientific wrestlers, and then there were the rule breakers.
Oh.
Scientific were the baby faces. Mm. Rule breakers were the heels.
Okay.
Now, you had great scientific wrestlers that were also heels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that kind of muddied the waters. But basically, if you were a bad guy, you were a rule breaker.
Right, yeah.
Although I've seen Kerry Von Erich throw a hell of a lot of closed fists, you know.
Yeah. So the term heel and babyface, is that did WWE coin those terms, or is that like
no, that was all over the place.
Okay.
That was a business thing, but not in the aftermath.
Okay, so not a technical or a rudo?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think they use those on
Luke's, well, they use them in CMLL and AAA all the time.
Right. And I think those always were, but that's kind
of, I love when those random Mexican wrestling promotions show up on the Fight Network sometimes. At like 2-3 in the morning, I'm like, the fuck is this? And I'll record it and watch it the next morning.
Right
and the
on,
ring
right
is
on.
Like,
what?
From, I know people listening won't know
radio,
how big the basement is, but from where you're sitting to the wall here.
Oh, so it's just gigantic? Okay,
it's stupid small.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a 16 by 16?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay.
That or smaller.
Pretty, yeah. It's like anywhere you pin the guy, he can get a rope break.
Yeah, basically. Like a fucking 10 by 10, the old.
Oh, my God.
That Edge and Christian used to wrestle in here forever ago.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, considering that a WWE ring is 20 by 20, that's it's pretty small.
You know it's bad when you can lie down in a ring and touch it with your arm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your legs can be on one rope and your hand can be on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Needless to say, the mighty Greg the Hammer Valentine did not cripple every scientific wrestler.
Oh, really?
The 80s.
What a liar.
Next up, Mr. Ken Patera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The 80s will show the world how great I am. Okay, as I recall, he did kind of start the 80s off pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an AWA world title reign with Jerry Blackwell.
Okay.
And, you know, he had a pretty good run in the WWF. But then he thought it would be a good idea if he threw a boulder through the window of a McDonald's.
Oh.
And this, that,
did he get his order wrong? What the fuck?
He was pissed about something.
Was the cheese cold? Like with the burger I had fucking last week?
He was pissed about something. I don't remember all the details. He actually went to jail for this. And that pretty much, like, he did, after he did come out, he did have a small run in the WWF. He did kind of change his hair and his look, and he wasn't as in shape as he once was. So that never lasted long. He returned to the AWA and had a run with Brad Rangins, of all people, as the Olympians. He had a world title run there, tag team title run there. And then that's kind of about it. Well, the 80s didn't exactly show the world how great he was, but the world learned who he was outside of pro wrestling.
No,
because
they learned how great he was at throwing boulders through McDonald's.
Right, right. They didn't learn how great he was, but they learned who he was. Okay. Because this made national news outside of the world of professional wrestling. For a short while there, everyone knew who Ken Patera was.
When they forget the extra pickles.
He wanted a Big Mac and got a McDouble.
Did they even have those back in the 80s? McDoubles?
Double quarter pounder, yeah.
Oh, they still have those, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
that's what
a McDouble is like a cheeseburger. It's a double cheeseburger with only one slice of cheese. Yeah, so
what's up with that? You need a cheese and burger ratio.
I know.
Yeah.
Like a McDouble is a double cheeseburger with one slice of cheese, and a double cheeseburger is two slices.
I got a McDouble on Friday and the cheese was frozen.
It's like a junior a junior chicken. It's like a
couldn't pay me to go to Rotten Ronnie's anymore.
Yeah, it's not.
I was just hungry and that was the cheapest
Every time I go there nowadays, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna get a double quarter pounder and gonna get some fries, and as I'm eating it, I'm just like, well, this is disappointing.
Yeah.
It's like I paid $20 for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like this dry patty. Anymore. Yeah. I paid $20 for this dry ass burger. Like,
jeez. Yeah, it's fucking brutal.
Only thing worth going to there for nowadays is the breakfasts. And even then, I don't know. I haven't had a sausage and egg McMuffin in a long time. Anyway, we're getting off track.
Yeah, just a bit. Bruno Sammartino, one of the all-time greats.
All-time, yeah.
You know, like...
One of the men who made Madison Square Garden.
For sure, yeah. For sure. He made professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
For the 1980s, my dream is to make sure wrestling stays good.
Mm.
Holy shit.
Well,
because 4 years later,
Vinnie Mac.
Wow.
Yeah. Vince buys the company and he wants no part of it.
Yes. And Bruno, okay, for a little while he was doing color commentary, but it got to the point where Bruno finally said, okay, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And he retired.
Well, they even say in that documentary that he did with WWE a few years ago, he like literally says like, yeah, and then it started to get more into like the showy side of it, the glitz and the glamour. And he said, I don't want any part of this. I want out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then he was basically out of the whole wrestling business for quite a while. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So with the arrival of sports entertainment and then the other federations feeling that they kind of had to do the same
to keep
in
up,
some
yeah.
way, shape or form.
And then Vince poaching.
Yeah, exclusive contracts, yeah.
Yeah, and the damage to the territories and all that. Sorry, Bruno, but you did not make sure wrestling stays good.
Sorry to say, bud.
Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, what?
I'll regain the title and reign for 10 years.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, this was 1980, I believe. Rhodes would win. Like, I think he won three world. The last world title he won was an NWA during the Great American Bash Tour, 1986.
I'm just picturing exactly how he would say that. Dude, he's like, "I'll regain that title and I'll reign for ten years, baby."
Eventually, yes.
Yeah.
He regained the NWA World title.
Mm-hmm.
Barely got out of the Bash tour dates before losing it back.
Mm. Course,
I think that was he had the book at the time.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah,
so that's that's what I call hard times.
Yeah. He basically wanted to win it at one of the big Bash stadium shows,
mm-hmm.
and then he knew Flair was a bigger draw than him. And
at least he's a humble man. But
Rhodes is a humble.
The American dream did not come true in the 80s as he thought it would.
No. Mr. Harley Race.
Mm.
Okay.
One of the most terrifying men to ever walk the fucking planet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one will take my title again.
Hmm.
Now I'm assuming...
Well, he carried a gun in his bag, so...
Yeah.
He was NWA champion at the time.
They'd have to convince him.
I don't recall how many reigns he was through at that point. But yes.
Was this like afro and handlebar mustache Harley Race? Oh, that's the one I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the one.
Yeah, okay.
That is the one.
Yeah.
He would lose it to Ric Flair at the very first Starrcade.
Oh, okay. The very, very first. Yeah. Okay.
So, yes. Sorry, Mr. Race, one of the all-time greats. But someone did. Take your time.
and
it was the Nature Boy. Woo!
Yes.
Of course it was Ric Flair, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Bob Backlund.
Okay.
A decade to prove I'm the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Those first 4 years, hard to fight his point.
Because he was champ for 4 years.
That was when he was WWF champion?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Right. And yeah.
And then he lost to Diesel in 19 seconds?
Well, that was, okay. No, that was 10 years after the fact.
Yeah, that was not the yeah. same thing.
No,
yes.
That was not the same. That was the same Backlund. Yeah, that was the Backlund that beat Bret Hart and then lost to Diesel. Yeah, lost to Diesel at a house show.
Yep. Yeah.
Got squashed by him. Just, yeah.
Yeah, that, I forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a lot of people do. That was when WWF was at its lowest point, like literally, like
man talk.
Yeah. And even bringing Backlund back didn't help.
Nope,
didn't help.
And make and making Kevin Nash your guy was not the right move.
Yeah. So the first 4 years, yes, Mr. Backlund,
mm-hmm.
you proved that you were one of the best in the world. But after that, sorry, my friend.
Yeah.
Andre the Giant. The men I must destroy. Which some of these men included Terry Funk, mm-hmm. Superstar Graham, Dick Murdoch, and Ernie Ladd.
Big Cat Ernie Ladd?
Yeah, yeah. Which you put Andre and Ernie Ladd side by side, and Andre wasn't much bigger than
him. Ernie Ladd was pretty freaking big.
Yeah, like, and he moved and he had a work rate. Mm-hmm. And Ernie Ladd was something. We was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Funk as well, legendary as well. Everywhere he went, you know, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll never forget seeing, like, one of the few reasons I actually went to a WWF card after the national expansion. Had to see Terry Funk.
Of course.
Superstar Graham, one of the all-time greats as well.
Hey. Hey, pay attention over there.
Dick, I turned the sound off.
Dick Murdoch, again, Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats. Card-carrying KKK member, he can go fuck himself.
Okay.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, Andre. You did not destroy these men.
He went on to be in The Princess Bride. asking people if they wanted a peanut.
Yeah.
The bloopers of the movie.
Yeah.
Where he lets one rip. You feel better, Andre? I'm feeling better now, boss.
Feeling better now. Yeah. Wallace Shawn from The Princess Bride. Okay, that played Mr. Inconceivable.
Oh, yeah. Inconceivable.
He had a wicked role on Young Sheldon.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't watched Young Sheldon. So.
He was one of Young Sheldon's mentors.
Okay.
And and he's much older now, you know.
I didn't even know he was still alive.
Yeah. 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 Like, every time he would talk, I heard inconceivable.
Yeah, and I'm the same with me with the T-Rex from Toy Story.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Young Sheldon was absolutely fantastic. Mr. Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, one of the goats, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. For sure. He says, I don't have any dreams.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really.
No. Ricky Steamboat didn't have any dreams.
He didn't have any, you know, he didn't want to eventually become NWA world champion, which he would.
He held big gold, didn't he? Like the big gold championship.
He didn't want to have those 3 great matches with Flair.
He didn't want to have one of the best. He didn't want to have one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time against Macho Man Randy Savage for the Intercontinental title.
Apparently not.
That wasn't on his bucket list, was having one of the all-time great WrestleMania matches. Like,
and it ended with a roll-up.
That match was before its time, I will say.
It was. Yeah, I'll still put that up against anything.
Yeah, fuck Hogan and Andre. That's
first person to slam him.
No, you weren't. Harley Race, Kamala, Jerry Lawler, come on.
Big John Studd.
Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, like, that was after Hogan.
Was that Ultimate? Oh, that was after, okay.
Robert.
Okay.
I don't recall Jake ever doing it.
Yeah, I don't think Jake would have been able to, but...
No.
I swear, when Jake was on Joe Rogan's podcast, he talked about that he slammed Andre.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jake Roberts was on a lot of drugs.
Yeah, Jake Roberts... I know he told us to trust him, but
yeah, I don't trust everything he says. Yeah.
Never trust
And I'm sorry, Mr. Steamboat. I don't believe that you didn't have any dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sure you did.
For a man with no dreams, he sure accomplished a lot.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Wrestling 2. When it comes to the territories, this guy was fucking Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere he went, especially, you know, mid-south.
Considering that he had such a generic name and such a generic mask.
Mask,
like,
yeah.
He looks like a template.
Yeah,
like,
even his work rate.
Yeah.
It was punch and gouge, and, yep. you know, it just...
He was someone's first creator wrestler.
Basically. So like, you know, he was the template for creator wrestler.
But he was so over in mid-south.
Whatever works.
You know, and he kept kayfabe up in front of the boys, even.
Yeah, well, didn't he request that he get buried in his mask or something? Or maybe I'm thinking of someone else, but...
I'm sure a lot of
he was. He's never seen in public without his mask.
Right.
Yeah, hey, good for him.
Wrestling, too, would... You know, and there was... Since it was the territories, you're doing a lot of driving.
Mm-hmm.
He would stop, okay, a couple blocks before the arena, put his mask on, and then drive those few blocks so he walked out with the mask on.
Kane would do the same thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, at least Kane did something good.
Well, like, Kane, yeah. Well, no, like, they would joke about that, how, like they'd be driving, like, by the arena, and Kane would be, like, in his full mask. He would have his mask on, and Paul Bearer would be in the passenger seat, just, like, screaming out the passenger window to the wrestling fans, going, "It's a miracle! Kane can drive!" Oh, yes!
Glenn laughing his ass off.
You'd probably just like, "God damn it, Paul."
Kane can drive.
Anyway, not to distract from the... So what did Mr. Wrestling 2 say? Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Wrestling 2 said, "I would like to win another major title."
Mm.
And I'm trying to recall in my little brain... I think he would eventually, yes, regain. He would have another Mid-South reign. But his last really big angle, yeah, I believe him and Magnum T.A.
The mustache
against the
man.
Midnight Express.
The mustache man.
Yeah. And basically...
Hangman Adam Page's father.
T.A.
That photo. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If there was no car accident,
mm-hmm.
T.A. was going to go on to be one of the all-time greats, and it would have been from the rub from Wrestling 2.
Mm-hmm.
I do not doubt that at all. Next up.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
This is, to me, is the all-time greatest wrestler of all
the
time.
The Nature Boy.
Ric Flair. Yeah.
Style and profile and et cetera. You've heard it all a million times.
Yeah.
The stories of him and Dusty. Mm. I bought a robe. No, I'll buy a better robe. I'll buy a house. I'll buy a bigger house.
Yeah.
No doubt. Oh, I'm sure. This was pre-world title reigns. And in 1980.
Hard to believe there was a time where Ric Flair didn't have any world title reigns.
Because when I discovered pro wrestling, it was in 79. It was in AWA territory.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get those first couple years. You know, I really didn't know a whole hell of a lot of other wrestling until I started buying the aftermags.
Yeah, like when I got into wrestling, I think Ric Flair was on his 14th world title reign.
Okay.
And his 16th wasn't, like, he hasn't been a world champion since 1999, I don't think, or 2000.
Okay.
Maybe he got it at one point during when it got passed around in 2000. But no, I remember his 16th was in WCW and he had the big gold belt, and that was the last time he ever held a world championship. He hasn't been world champion in 25 years.
Wow.
Like,
I'm just glad he's still alive, to be honest.
Yeah, like,
you know.
We thought we watched him die twice.
Yeah.
He fell asleep.
Yeah, he passed. Well, I don't know if that's the correct term. I think he literally passed out.
He just might have passed out. Yeah,
we're all just sitting there.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
Like he took a bump and we're all just sitting there like, okay, he's moving.
We just paid $40. Watch Ric Flair die. What yeah. the fuck?
That is not a memory that I would have wanted as a pro wrestling fan.
No but like, we knew going into that pay-per-view that was a possibility. So let's right. not yeah. let's not act like we were too surprised.
And of course, mm-hmm. anyone that doesn't know, we're talking the Ric Flair's last match.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view that. Well, Conrad,
and still to this day is his last match. So, yeah. as of the time of recording, that is not a lie. So,
that's right. Well, in 1980, I want to win the U.S. title from Jimmy Snuka.
Hmm.
Good goals.
Well, I don't know. I can't recall if he actually did win it from Jimmy Snuka specifically. But
he did have a U.S. title run back in the early
80s. He's been United States champion quite a few times. Like he was, I remember in 1996, he was the United States champion in WCW at Hogwild.
Right.
Like their, which would eventually become Road Wild, but that was their. That was their Sturgis pay-per-view when they were at the bike rally putting on a pay-per-view. Yeah.
That was a cool show. Right.
Yeah. I rented that on VHS back in the day. Cause I just wanted to see the Outsiders versus Lex Luger and Sting. And then the main event was the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. And this was NWO Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan. Yeah. Anyway.
Next up.
Yep.
The Superstar.
Superstar
Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm. Hogan before Hogan.
Yes, yeah. The guy Hogan wanted to be.
Yeah.
The guy Jesse Ventura wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll prove to all I'm the greatest who ever lived. Okay. Finally. A case could be made for this.
Greatest.
I wouldn't say that he was the greatest.
Greatest who ever lived is subjective.
It is very. There are a number of wrestlers that I would. If I was to make a list of top 10 greatest wrestlers of all time,
mm-hmm.
he would be in the top 20.
And how many? Yeah. How many wrestlers have gone out there stating that they're the greatest of all time or they're the best the best in the world?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. And Graham can actually put his name in that conversation.
Yeah. One of. Not right. the, but not, one not of. The.
He's definitely up there.
The best in the world, as I said, yeah, is incredibly. That varies from person to person. So
right. You'll have wrestling fans that just, I just like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy never wins any matches, never won a major title or anything.
I just like how he looks. I just like how he looks. Yeah.
I just think they're neat.
I just think they're neat.
I think Mike Boyette.
He's like, who's your favorite wrestler of all time? Doink the Clown. Okay.
Yeah.
I am
Why?
Not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're neat.
That conversation would be so over.
Yeah. Or the Repo Man. Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Well, okay, we laugh about that. But I talk to a lot of people now, this day and age, when... You know, people find out that I'm a wrestling fan, and mm-hmm. they go, "Oh, I haven't watched wrestling in so long. I really liked it. I liked the Ultimate Warrior. He was really cool. I really liked him." It's like, yeah, I can see why you didn't retain being a pro wrestling fan because you were just it was a trend. It was a fad to mm-hmm. you. You were in and out, and yeah, Mr. Ernie Ladd. The cowards will crawl, or I will destroy them. Okay.
That sounds like someone we all know.
Yes.
Not naming any names. I'm just throwing it out there. I feel like I've read a meme that said that recently.
Well, anyways,
yeah. I think I have also seen that.
Yeah,
meme.
Maybe. Yeah. Huh.
It's actually a good heel quote.
It is, yeah.
You know, the cowards will crawl, or you know, like I'm going to be the greatest, mm-hmm. and not as much as some of these other names, but yeah, Ernie Ladd is definitely one of the all-time greats, and he did not destroy everyone because they didn't crawl.
Dang, really?
Oh, man.
There was a lot of wrestlers that stood up to him.
Oh, well.
Sorry, Mr. Ladd.
again, similar to what we just heard.
And this is the last one.
Okay.
Best to last is last, I guess. David Von Erich.
Oh,
I know. The goal of a Von Erich is a championship. Basically, what Mr. Von Erich was saying is in the 80s.
If your last name is Von Erich, then.
He's saying that he is going to have an NWA world title run.
Mm-hmm. Basically saying if your last name is Von Erich, gold is the goal.
Gold is the goal, yes. Yeah. Yes. And if situations were different, David might very well have had that NWA world title run. But unfortunately, things worked out a little different. He passed away much too young. The Parade of Champions, it wasn't on pay-per-view, but the big Texas Stadium show was named. That was in tribute to Dave, where his brother, Kerry,
the Texas Tornado.
I
knew that was going to get under your skin. Yeah.
You gnawed him.
Yeah. Yes, the Texas Tornado. Wow. Greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
I used to like you. His brother would go on to do that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, David, it didn't happen. RIP, one of the all-time greats. Mm-hmm. Would have been a lot more. You know, if you believe in fate or whatever, hadn't intervened. So that was the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
at least
a retrospect.
Yeah,
a retrospective.
At least in the eyes of a handful of
wait for it some montage.
Yeah, you're gonna need a montage.
So. That's it. How can people get a hold of us?
Well, they can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
And, of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Be sure if you're checking this show out elsewhere, and we're probably pretty much on every aggregator you're going to want, including Spotify.
Yeah.
Go to Shining Wizards Network, check out all of the amazing programs, and if you haven't had enough, not only of your cool Uncle Snowy, but if you haven't had enough of Mr. Matt Popper here, you're going to want to check out what is going to be our latest episode, episode 801.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, just recently.
And we're at 76.
Yes.
So in 4 years, it took us to get to 76 episodes. Like, so,
oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to once again give a shout out and congratulations to my co-host, Aaron.
I'm going to be in a fucking wheelchair by then.
For our recent 800 episode. And you brought us into the next era.
Yeah.
When you sat down with my daughter as well.
Little Snowy.
Little Snowy. Mm-hmm. And we discussed all things James Earl Jones as well. So you're going to want to check that out. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This is another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Oh, it's good doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Signing off.
And as always, we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.